Well, the title of tonight's study is What We Have by Faith. Do you remember a month ago what was taught about faith? Do you remember what happened in 2 Peter? Do you remember it? The faith is the divine nature. Remember that? Those of you who were here. If you don't, well, I'm trying to jog your memory here a little bit. In fact, in 2 Peter 1:12, you'll turn there. Our text is actually going to be from Romans 5:1-5. So we'll go back and forth. So if you'll turn to 2 Peter 1:12. Yeah, there is one. Everyone there? 1:12. 1:12. Second. Anyway, Peter writes this. He says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." So what, remember these truths that we went over in the first part of 2 Peter? If you'll think back, if you look at verse 3, this is what he's talking about. In verse 3 of 2 Peter 1, it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So what Peter is talking about reminding them about, is these things, his divine power and the true knowledge of him. And that's what we're going to look at tonight in Romans. We're going to be in Romans 5:1-5. So if you'll turn over there, and you might want to keep a mark in Peter, because we're going to go in 1 Peter. We'll go back to it here in a little bit. In 2 Peter, sorry. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the food that we've already received for our bodies, Father. Father, now we ask that you fill us with your food, Lord, which is spiritual. And we thank you, Father, for doing that. And Father, I pray tonight that those who are weak in their faith, Father, I pray tonight that you will open their eyes and that they may see the truth, what you have already established by your power. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in Romans 5:1-5 is where our study is going to be from tonight. So I'll go ahead and read the first five verses here. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Did you notice how Paul started this out with the word "therefore"? What have we learned about when we read that word "therefore"? Come on, you guys. You know this. What have we learned about when you see the word "therefore"? You want to go back. Yeah, you want to go back and find. Yeah, what's "therefore"? So it's a purpose. It's a reason to find why he put it this way. So we want to go back well, before we do that, the word "therefore" is what we've already learned, so you have to go back kind of into chapter 4 in Romans to see what was taking place. But the subject, catch this, the subject does not change when you read the word "therefore" in the Bible. It does not change. It remains the same. It's a continuation of the subject. Okay? So the subject is faith. Faith. And that's what we're going to look at here. So he doesn't change this. So I'm just going to read the first two. Go to Romans 4:16-17. It gives you an idea and a full knowledge of what is taking place here. He says, And Paul writes, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I, a father of many nations, have I made you, in the presence of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. So we see that it's faith that Abraham relied upon, and he relied upon the power of God to carry these things out for him. And if you notice back in verse 16, what we read in 2 Peter 1:1, let me read this to you real quick. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind of as ours. Remember that from a month ago when we taught that? Here we see it again. And those who are of the faith of Abraham, that's us. That's us. And not only us, but also the Jews who live by the law. It's the same faith for both. Agreed? I hope so. So we see this continuation of faith. When you see the word therefore in the Bible, go back and read back. Okay? And it just makes it all that much more clear for you when you're reading it. Now, something very significant in Romans 5, 1 and 9. I didn't read 9 a while ago, and it was for a reason. So I wanted us to see this. Verses 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go across to verse 9. He says, much more then, having been justified by his what? Blood. Yeah, we shall be saved from what? Yeah, the wrath of God through him. So, so faith is the ground upon which our relationship with God is based upon. We'll find that in Hebrews 11:6. So if you'll turn to Hebrews 11:6, we'll see this real quick. And you guys know this by heart. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen? Yeah. And that's what we read here in 4:16 and 17. It just verifies once again that God is the power of everything that takes place right before our very eyes. It's the power. Okay, he's the power of it. So there's two things are being said in these verses. We're talking about verse 1 and 9 about justification. It's by faith and it's by his blood. Faith is, when we already looked at that in Hebrews 11:16. And in verse 9 we see this, been justified. Did you catch that? It's a Greek word, which is aorist passive, and it means it happens at the time of our salvation. That very moment, the day that you asked Jesus Christ into your life, you were justified. You became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. This is part of the promise of God. And it happened immediately. As soon as you gave your life to the Lord, it refers to that, okay? You can find that in verse in Romans 4, 24. Do you see it? But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Okay? It was at that moment. So let's look at a brief, just a little outline of justification in the Bible. Just a few of them, okay? Romans 8:33. You'll turn there for, please. Everyone there? So who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. So who's the source? Who's the source of your justification? God. Yeah, our Heavenly Father. All right? And it's not man or woman. So no, it's what it says. Who will bring a charge? No one can. No one can bring a charge to us. It's God who justified us. Okay? If you've got any questions as we go along through this, please ask. All right? In Romans 3:24, go back a few pages, we read this. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in who? Christ Jesus. Yeah. Christ Jesus. So what's the reason here that He's talking about? What's the reason? It's grace. Yeah. God's grace. And it's not our merit or our worthiness. It has nothing to do with that. It's by God's grace that we're justified. Okay? And we just read Romans 5:9, so let's read it one more time. Now, before we do this, let's do 3:28. Go back to Romans 3:28. I'm going to, yeah, please. I thought I brought one out here, but I didn't. Yeah, well. Thank you, Wayne. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Thank you. So you catch that? All right? You're justified by faith. Okay? Well, that's the means. It's faith. It's not anything that we do. We don't have to work for it. That's our new life. That's the way we live. Excuse me. And then once again at Romans 5:9, says, much more than having not been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. So the blood of Jesus Christ is what happened that took place for our justification. It was His blood that was shed. It had nothing to do with our performance at all. Not one little iota thing. It had nothing to do with that. Okay? So we have peace with God. If you noticed in verse 5:1, did you see that? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, this kind of implies that we used to battle and fight with God, right? We did. And because of what Jesus did, and because of what the word that we heard and believed and confessed with our mouth, it changed our lives. We no longer battle with Him at all. No longer fight with Him. If in verse 9, it also says, much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from what? From God's wrath. Yeah. Hallelujah. That ought to make you dance. It really should. Because I'm not going to say that there's nothing that you can do to make your Heavenly Father angry with you. That we know better than that. Yeah, He does discipline us. For without that discipline, we well know how rotten and everything we would be. So we know that. So we have peace with God, and we're saved from His wrath. Okay, the rest of the world's not going to. If they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the wrath of God is going to come down on them. And we have read this in Revelation, what's going to take place. It is pure ugly. And you do not want to be on this earth when it happens. We do not want to be. We want to be with Him. Amen. Amen. So in verses 2 and 5, look what takes place through Him. Okay? Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. In verse 5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Amen. And that again, man, we ought to be shouting and dancing right here. This is so cool. In fact, when I was actually putting this study together, I was just sitting here going, you know, with my jaw open, I remember reading this in the past and hearing another study on it years and years and years ago, but it was nothing. When you sit down as a son or a daughter of God, okay, and you begin to read His Word and you're with Him alone, it's amazing what He will open up and share with you. Just amazing stuff. It really is. And put a peace within you you probably never experienced in your whole life. And it's beautiful. It really is. So take the time. I encourage you to take the time to, and spend time with the Father. Seek His face. So you and I have full confidence that what God's purpose is for us, He will accomplish it. Amen? Okay, Romans, look at Romans 4, 18 through 21. It's just a page over. We read this. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might be, speaking of Abraham, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. So shall you, your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, not as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. You've got to be convinced in your heart, in your entire being, that God, everything that God has written, all of His promises that He has written about in His Word, He is able to fulfill in our lives. Maybe we talked about that a month ago too, about how many promises there was. There was over 5,000 promises written in the Bible. I don't think, speaking of myself, I may know a handful of them, or two handfuls, about it. Or if I read it, as you know, my daily studies, if I read a promise, I'm, that's for me. He's speaking directly to me. Okay? And that's another thing, too. When you sit down and read and study your Bible with the Lord, just you and Him by yourself, when you read these things, the Holy Spirit will reveal these promises to you, and you can count on them, that they will happen in your life. Sorry, still got that dryness. You know, drink water. It's that chicken. Thank you, Ed. So in Romans 4:18-21, what we just read, we see some fantabulous things here. Just remarkable things that take place. But like, what Abraham did, he sat down, he took the time to consider what God has promised him. And we need to do the same thing too, okay? Yes, take it as face value, but sit down and think about what He's promising us. You know, turn over to James. We quote this verse. I'm getting there. 4, I believe. We quote this verse, and yet we do not... Come on, get there, Gary. And we do not contemplate on what it takes to draw near to God. Okay? 4:8. James 4:8. We quote this. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. He's talking to us, okay? And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Look at verse 9. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. So if you want to draw near to God, you have got to be serious. I mean, really, really serious about drawing near to Him. You've got to give this stuff up that He's talking about here. If we don't, then we miss something. We miss a relationship that is so pure and so beautiful that we've never experienced in our lives. We miss it when we want to draw near to Him. Just think of it this way. Look what God and Jesus has done for us. Do you think He wants to be near us? Yeah, He does. Look what He did. Look what He went through for us. Yeah, He wants us to draw near. He wants to be near us. So, if you're gonna draw near to God, be serious about it. Okay? Be serious about it. So let's look at the guarantee of our position in Jesus Christ. In verse 2a, the very first part, it says, through Him also we have obtained our introduction, which is access. Some of your versions say access. Introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Yes, I'm sorry. Back in Romans 5, verse 2, and the first part, A. There's something we have to realize, that by faith into this grace in which we stand, we have to understand something. We are not saved by God's grace and then preserved by human effort. We can't preserve ourselves. Okay? You cannot do it by human effort at all. And no one else can do it for you. We, as sons and daughters of God, have the opportunity to go before Him at any time and be who we are. We don't have to rely on somebody taking us to the Father. Jesus has already introduced us to Him. He's already done that for us. But we as individuals can go before our Heavenly Father and receive remarkable things from Him. We just have to do it. But don't rely on somebody else to do it for you. Okay, don't rely on somebody to take you. You know, it's good to be reminded of what the Scriptures say. But until we do them, then they don't mean a whole bunch. They really don't. Amen? So we have access. The same access that Jesus has. Right now, we have that access to God. Okay? So remember that. We're not saved by God's grace and then turned over to our own efforts. Not at all. He did not save us for that. Did not. So who will be able to stand? Who will be able to stand before God? Come on, stick your hands up. Yeah, you. You guys will be able to stand before the Father. Okay? You will. In fact, turn to Ephesians 2, 17 and 18. We'll see this. Ephesians 2, 17 and 18. And He, and who is He talking about? Jesus, yeah. Everybody there? And He came and preached what? To who? Yeah. Who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Okay, we fall into that category. Yeah, we really do. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to who? To the Father. See? So we have the access. Okay? We have it. So we can honestly say that we have access to our Heavenly Father. Alright? Look at Ephesians 3, 11 and 12. Kind of a repeat, but we're going to look at this. 3, 11 and 12. Ephesians 3, 11, 12. Now this was God's purpose. Alright? Catch this now. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Isn't that remarkable? That God, the one who has created everything that you see right here, and you yourselves, us ourselves, and everything you lay your eyes on outside, inside, just everywhere, He has created it. And we have access to Him. it just blows your mind if you think about it. We need to start taking the opportunity to go before Him. And prayer is fantastic. It really is. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to getting nearer to the Father, we need to do it. I'm going to keep pointing this out. We need to do it as individuals and want to be near Him as a son or a daughter. Think about it. You have grandkids, right? When they see you and they want to be near you, what do they do? Huh? Yeah, they want to get on your lap. But they stop doing what they're doing. They just put it all aside and they come running to you and they grab you by the leg and they, you know, bite you on the ankle and everything like that. But yeah. But you see, this is the same way. This is the same way we want to be with our Heavenly Father. Stop what we're doing and desire to be with Him and draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. So we are the ones that will be able to stand before Him. I know there's been a lot of teaching about judging and everything like that. Well, we know the outcome of the judgment. Sure, some of us are going to lose some stuff, but we're not going to be cast away from it. We're still going to be with Him, you know. That doesn't change, even though we may lose some things. You know, we're not guaranteed everything. Well, we are if we... I won't go there. That's another study. So God's eternal purpose that we have by faith is that we will be with Him. Okay, that was His purpose for this entire thing that's taken place from eons to go to now, even tomorrow or the day after that, or on down the road. It's going to take place. So look at go to 1 Peter 3:18. Mm-hmm. So you guys are already reading. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to who? Having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Notice a little s? Okay. All right. Are you catching that, what he's saying? All right. Okay, back to Romans. Romans 5. Starting at let's look at verse 2, in the last part of verse 2. It says, we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And then exalt is we rejoice, is what exalt means. We rejoice in hope for the glory of God. And not only this, look at verse 3. It says, and not only this, but we also exalt or rejoice in our tribulations. How many of you do that? Not many. Are you happy when you're really down in the dumps? I tell you, we need to start practicing that. We really do. Because, yeah.
We'll get back to you.
We'll get you back. It'll shorten your tribulation. It'll make it much, much easier to go through. I tell you that. Yeah, praise you, Lord. You got me through that one. But through it, you know, that's the thing. So, and we exalt in hope, back to verse 2, and we exalt in hope for the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about these things. Perseverance, do we need that? Yes. Mm-hmm. Proven character. Oh, yeah, boy, do I need that. I need proven character. My character would be a struggle sometimes. Right, Mikey? And not only proven character, but hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, did you catch that? It's not just suffering, okay? It's suffering and rejoicing through it. You're going to suffer, but rejoice through it. That's what's going to get you over. That's what's going to get us through this thing. And the outcome, as we read, are these things. Okay? Perseverance, proven character, and our hope is even lifted that much higher and better. We don't second guess hope anymore. We just don't hope for things out of the blue. We know what to hope for. Okay? We know what it is. So I say, brothers and sisters, rejoice, because Jesus is coming very soon, as we all know that. We all can sense that within ourselves. We know it. We know it's not just, it could be tomorrow, it could be tonight. We just don't know. And that's the beauty of it. We don't know when. That keeps us, I don't know about you, but that keeps me watching. It keeps me looking for Him. And that's what I want to be doing when He comes. I want to be involved in the ministry that God has placed on my heart to do. And I want to finish it. But if He comes before and takes me out of here, so be it. It's finished. It's done. It's over with. Huh? Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Exactly right. So don't stop looking. Don't stop watching. Don't let the circumstances of your body or of this world take you away from that. Keep watching. Keep your hope strong in the Lord. So let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this lesson that we have read tonight, Father, and studied. Father, I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters, and also myself, Father. I pray that I will remain steady in Your faith. I pray that, Father, that You will teach me, and also I pray that You will teach my brothers and sisters, that when we go through troubled times, just start singing. Just start giving You the praise and glory for bringing us through that. And these things that You can do for each and every one of us, Father, by Your power, will be done. And the change will come. And there won't be a person on this earth that will not be able to see the change that is each and every one of us, Father. So we thank You for that, Father. We thank You for giving us Your word and for demonstrating on how You do these things. And how much You love doing these things, Father. So I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.